Good evening. This is Amelia Terry bringing highlights from this week's City Council meeting.
Just as a reminder, and a list as an overview of the request. Since our last update, staff has continued to work on releasing the data sets and this requested information while providing updates and working with our community partners. The blue check marks here indicate items that are complete. And at today's meeting of the governance committee, they discussed the recordings of committee meetings, and those are going to start within the next 3 months. So we've experienced a few technical delays with some of the other data sets that we're continuing to work through. APD has completed a needed update to their software that keeps their use of force and citizen complaint data. And APD will continue to work with that vendor to pull the data for first view before we can post it on the open data site.
During Tuesday's July 24th City Council meeting, Jamie Matthews, assistant to the city manager, reported problems releasing information about the police department's city open data plan. She says the delays are due to technical difficulties with their software and turnover in the IT department. To reiterate what transpired during the May 15th City Council meeting, Jamie Matthews told the council that crime reports and the Asheville Police Department manual could be released soon. However, other data sets, especially the citizens' complaints and use of force information, would require additional review by staff. At today's government meeting, the police department discussed recordings of community meetings. They said discussions will begin within the next 3 months. IT is working on emergency calls data, and human resources is working to release demographic data of police officers. The APD is in the process of working with software vendors to correct problems with the use of force and citizen complaints database, while also working on getting all of the policies and reports posted to their website as soon as possible. Crime and traffic stop reports are complete. The Blue Ribbon Committee's report is complete. Details concerning the APD policy manual, the internal reports and audits of body-worn cameras are not being released at this time. Additional actions still underway include the NAACP and SCSJJ policy reforms and the anti-retaliation forms. Ms. Matthews confirmed in her testimony that the police department's goals concur with those of the city council. These include providing ample safeguards for the privacy of victims, officers, and the integrity of criminal investigations. Overall, the APD is working steadily to increase trust between the city and the community at large. The mayor and all members of the city council made no comments and had no questions for Jamie Matthews. For more information, go to www.ashevillenc.gov/departments/police/default.htm. Next up, Assistant City Manager Peggy Rowe announced the Equity Action Plan has been approved. It will be implemented in fiscal year 2019. She says the main goal of the plan is to establish an equitable and diverse community. The key value is to increase understanding across the board and reduce racial disparities with city government and community. Ms. Rowe states that they are creating a sense of urgency to make the necessary changes. The Equity Action Plan is designed to build staff, skills, and competency through training. It will continue building infrastructure to develop tools for decision-making, measurement, and accountability. The plan also involves taking steps to improve retention rates as well. Mayor Esther Mannheimer announced the approval of the Asheville City Master Transit Plan by unanimous vote. Many speakers in the public forum supported the plan.
Good evening. My name is Sabrina Raven, and I'm pleased to have served on the Transit Committee, the Transit Master Plan Steering Committee, and the Better Buses Together core team, which means I've been neck deep in the TMP process all year. And I'm glad that you seem to understand, but I need to make sure that you understand how critical it is that this TMP is not just adopted tonight, but that you commit to funding it over the next few years. There's been a lot of praise for the transit expansions in the recent years, but the truth is most of those increases weren't about giving us a great system or even really a good system. They're about repairing the damage done by the 2012 makeover, which cut service to so many people. It's really only in the past year that we can say that recovery work is mostly complete. But in the meantime, our buses and garage have kept aging, our city's kept growing, our traffic has kept increasing, more people have had to move out further from their jobs, and more people have less money to spend on transportation because housing costs are taking up everything they have to spare. So now we have a whole new set of problems to solve. And we must solve them. People need to know they can get to work on time. They need to be able to get to the doctor without worrying about missing an appointment because the bus didn't show up. And I need to know I can come here without worrying how I'm going to get home at night because the buses stop running before public comment even starts. I want you to be clear on this. The year one recommendations in the TMP are also not about giving us a great system or really even a good system. They're about giving us the bare essentials of a system that actually functions well enough for people to use it. Because right now our system is not functional. Our buses are still late as often as not. They still stop running too early. They still don't go everywhere they need to be. The year one recommendations aren't a magic wand, but they will go a long way towards helping solve these problems. The plan isn't perfect. Half-hour service on Hendersonville Road, service to Inca Candler, those are things we should have had years ago, not years from now. I'd like to see the timeline on those sped up, as well as on the bus garage and fare free analysis. I'm sorry about the cuts to service to Kenilworth, but I'm convinced that's the best option we have right now, and we can work on returning that service in later years when we have more resources. And there's other nitpicks that I'll argue with transit staff over as we move forward. But the plan recommendations as a whole are really solid. And unlike so many other documents that come before council, this one truly prioritizes the needs of the people most affected. It's not going to give us a great system right away, but it will give us the system we need and open the door to grow a better system later on. The 2036 vision calls for public transportation that is widespread, frequent, and reliable. It says it should be easy to live in Asheville without a car and still have success. If that vision is to be meaningful, we can't wait years to start implementing it because it's going to take years of improvements to get there. But more importantly, our people need better buses now, today, not in 2036. We need you to adopt this plan and we need you to get it funded. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Vicki Meath with Just Economics and also a West Asheville resident. On behalf of Just Economics, I want to encourage you to support the plan. And I also want to publicly thank Ely and the consultants. To be honest, we had a lot of issues with the original draft of, you know, the first draft that was publicly presented. But after lots of discussion and work on their part to work with us, to work with riders, other advocates, and other community members, we're in a position to say that we think that this is a good plan and this represents a broad vision for transit in Asheville. We think that it's important to pass this plan tonight. It's also important for you all to really prioritize the funding for this plan. As James was mentioning, over the past month in particular, we've seen a lot of service interruptions, a lot of, if you ride the bus or if you subscribe to iRide, you'll see that lots of the buses have been breaking down. The last month has been pretty extreme. And that's because we didn't spend the capital that we needed 2 years ago to have the bus replacements. This plan, as well as the work that Ely's been doing over the past several years, has a good bus replacement plan, has this facility in the plan, and we need you to look at both the operations and the capital expenses and really to think about how we're going to fund that. We know that there's the probable sale of Mission Hospital that will not only set up the Mission Foundation, but will likely bring in tax dollars into the city budget, and we're hoping that you'll kind of take a look at how we can use some of that to increase transit. Thanks.
Good evening, Council. I'm Reverend Amy Cantrell. It's an honor to speak tonight. Access, access, access. That's what this plan does. Opportunity, yes, health and health care. This is an employment issue, a housing issue, and I could go on and on. Public transit is something that we all need and we can all benefit from. I want to say what an honor it has been to serve on the Transit Master Plan Steering Committee, along with countless other community members who have volunteered countless hours to bring this plan before you tonight. And I want to say what it is to me to see the community really invited into a process. And I just want to hold this up as a model. And I want to thank Tyndale Oliver and Ely and LaShawn and all the others that have been really working to make this a community plan. And I think it's a model for civic engagement. Necessity riders, the most impacted people affected by this plan, were centered, were listened to, were honored and heard throughout as the experts that they are. And so I want to say that we need to vote yes for this plan. This is a solid plan. These folks that are on the consultant team met, they would take meetings hours before we were moving something forward because we wanted to get it right. And so we bring this to you tonight. This is the bare minimum for creating a powerful transit system that actually works for the whole community. Our system's been tired and broken and dysfunctional for a long while. And thanks to dedicated rider advocates, dedicated council members, dedicated city transit staff, we have worked to fix many of these struggles together. We have a serious opportunity to adopt a public transit plan that will bring a more robust and workable transit system that allows Asheville City community members to get to work, to school, to healthcare, to grocery stores, yes, Sabra, to and from city council meetings, and to many, many other things that we can take advantage of as people living in Asheville. I want to urge you on several things. I want to urge you to look at this fare-free trial and move to a fare-free system as an equity issue in a way that we can support sustainability goals as well. To urge you to find the $18,000 to begin to move this maintenance facility study forward so that we can get that done more quickly, so we're not slowed down by the fact that we don't have the infrastructure that we need. Again, this is a plan that we will continue to work on and improve and improve and improve in the ways that all we do coming together as volunteer advocates and council members and staff. But I urge you to vote yes tonight and to commit to funding, fully funding this plan as we move forward. Thank you.
Credible sources project that the master plan is going to drive Asheville's bus system into bankruptcy. Steve Foster is a representative for the Council of Independent Business Owners Budget Committee and also a practicing CPA for over 30 years. He addressed the City Council by saying, "You cannot afford the annual subsidy plus its growth year after year. It's going to catch up to the city, and now is the time to change things." Foster goes on to say, "The city is spending $2 million a year to fix streets that may take up to 80 years to receive repair, while simultaneously spending $5 million on city subsidies to drive buses over the same dilapidated streets." Foster impressed upon the council that their allocation of the city's budget is not sustainable and current management is spending funds disproportionately. The Transit Master Plan is recommending construction of a new 8 to 10 acre facility that will cost $50 million to begin as soon as fiscal year 2019. It is projected to reach completion by 2024. The plan also includes provision for the possibility of fare increases or elimination of fares entirely. Beginning in July of 2019, there will be a fare-free weekend trial. It will last 1 year to test the impact on riders. The transit plan supporters believe that providing a fare-free weekend trial will allow staff to monitor the impact of fare-free service without the risk of overcrowding or substantial loss of revenue. The plan will allow service extensions beyond city limits and into other areas of Buncombe County. Asheville's Transit Department hired the consulting firm Tyndale Oliver to develop strategies. Justin Willits, a transportation planner, announced the addition of two new bus stops in Pack Square to support new crosstown routes.
So just to take you through the timeline, we started in October. A lot of data collection, heavy analysis, and involved the community throughout the process. a lot of updates and has got us to this point in the plan. This is the long list of all of the outreach we've done. Some of the highlights from that are these takeaways, you know, what we learned throughout the project. Existing service levels and funding were not adequate to address the needs of the community. A lot of the issues we needed to address were on-time performance related, which necessitated kind of an increase in the quantity of service to address the quality of the existing service in order to kind of enhance the mobility options for the area and address some of the community concerns we heard at the early part of the project when we had proposed to kind of scale back some of the service area. We really wanted to keep the existing coverage and focus on improving access and some of the frequency without sacrificing any of the coverage area. One of the other things we heard throughout the project was that some of the transferring downtown was seen as an impediment to the service and the quality of service. So many of the changes you'll see in the plan are focused on moving transit through downtown a little more quickly.
To view a map of the changes made to Asheville's bus service, go to mountainx.com/news/transit-master-plan. Libby Childs spoke in public comment advocating for the Stevens Lee Community Center and other hubs that serve Asheville's Black community. Her proposal included longer hours and giving the center back to the community.
So my name is Libby Childs. I'm a public school teacher at Isaac Dixon Elementary School. And in addition to that, I run a nonprofit called YTL Training Programs, Youth Transform for Life. I want to speak to you today from three different perspectives as a parent, as a teacher, and then as a community member. As a parent, my daughter is sitting back there, Leah. I am very protective of my daughter, like all parents are. I monitor what she sees, I monitor what she hears when I can, but I can't be with her always. So when she goes out into other places, public places, she sees images, she hears people talking about people of color and children of color in a way that's not positive. When I was 8 in Asheville, my experience was very different than what Leah's is now. When I was 8, I spent a lot of time on 13 Bellwood Street, which is where your public work buildings are located now. Those were my grandmother's houses. We used to walk to Stevens Lee. And when we walked to Stevens Lee, that's where we went to play games. We had community. I think I may have told one or two of you that that's where I became the air hockey champion. Because it was a building that was purposed for gathering of children of color in a positive way. And as a child growing up in Asheville, I often heard stories about Stevens Lee and about, you know, the great band and the academic excellence and how you didn't act out in school because you knew you were going to see your teacher and your teacher was going to see your mom at church. And there was this great community that was built in that place. And today, our children are missing out on that. They're missing out on the history and the beauty of Black Asheville from back then. And I think it's really important that as we think about what's going on in our community with our youth, that we think about reimagining what that space could be. Reimagining a place where children of color come and they feel safe and they feel at home. Because on the walls, they see people that look like them. They see doctors, they see lawyers, they see judges, they see bankers, they see the Al Whiteside, the people who came out of that space. And they see the history of excellence. That's not something that they get to see every day. That's not something that they get to hear. And that is what Stevens Lee means to me, and I think to most Native of the Black community in Asheville. It was a place of academic excellence. And it was a place where you had little, but you did so much with the little that you had, and you had so much pride in it that it was just great. Even secondhand books were great. I would like for us to reimagine Stevens Lee as a place where children of color come in the door and look around and see themselves. That's my perspective as a parent. My perspective as a teacher, having taught Nashville City Schools for the past 14 years, I was a teacher assistant for 2 years. The school can only do so much. I love every kid in my classroom, and I want the best for every kid in my classroom. And I do my best for every child in my classroom. But there are circumstances happening in our communities that are beyond my control, your control, anyone's control. So what do we do about that? We can't just continue to blame the teachers and say, oh, if only you did this. Something else has to happen outside of the school building. And I think, and let me say, not just Stevens Lee, I actually believe it's a bigger conversation. I actually believe that we should have these conversations about all of those buildings that were given or turned over to the city when schools were closed for integration and they were then turned into rec centers. We need to reimagine all of those spaces. We need to consider what would it look like if we put grassroots organizations in these places and supported them to do the work that they know to do. One of the most upsetting things in any community is when you have people come in and mandate to you what they think you need. First is listening to the people who are on the ground doing the work on a daily basis and having something like what we have for the transit system for our community. Does that make sense? We can't fix everything, but there are some realistic steps that we can take. And one of those realistic steps, I believe, is giving Stevens Lee back to the community and allowing us to have programming in there that deals with trauma. And when I say trauma, trauma exists in all walks of life. It's not just the trauma that happens in the neighborhood. Children walk into schools and they don't feel safe. And that is an issue. If you haven't, there's a book by Zaretta Hammond called Culturally Relevant Teaching and the Brain. And that book talks about the fact that it's not that children of color can't learn, because that's what that, you know, achievement gap would say. But it's if they don't feel safe. And so when you don't feel safe, your brain is really focusing on two things, your wellness and your safety. And your safety is first. So if I walk into this building, very few people look like me. Nothing on the wall reminds me of me. And immediately I'm expected to transform into this image of this perfect kid who sits quietly and doesn't make any noise and does exactly what he or she is asked to do. That's unrealistic. Because my brain is thinking I need to be safe and I'm not feeling safe right now. So as a teacher, I think it would be really important that we had community spaces that were able to operate based on what grassroots organizations know would be helpful for all of our children.
This is Amelia Terry reporting for WSFM.